morning, church family. I just want to say again how much I love you. And I know that this season that we're in right now is difficult to be apart from one another, but I want you to know just again how much I love you, how proud I am of you over these last several weeks. I heard testimonies from last Sunday morning about how there were Sunday school classes who chose to meet regardless of the difficulties that are around us, and they found a way around that difficulty by choosing to meet through a digital medium. And actually, I took that, and that is something that a technology that I hope to keep using as we are in this period of time for us to hold virtual meetings. And so, church family, I want you to hear me say, I'm proud of you, I love you, as you are being diligent, as you are persevering in this season. And in this season of separation, we have been allowing the situation that's around us to bring questions to our hearts and to our minds, or at least I have. And that's the direction that we've been going in our time together on Sunday mornings. And so this is a different time. It's a unique time. I'm so proud of what Pastor Mike put together last week and received some great compliments from outside of the church about how we kept this interactive. And that's our goal, is that this can't be the same as if it we were all in one large room and having a group meeting of 120 of us or more. And so we want this to be interactive. We're encouraging you to interact with groups and in small groups. And so if you're on the live stream on the Church Online platform, there's a chat room that goes on along the side. You can request prayer, but then there's also access to the Bible. There's also access to the notes. In the show notes on the YouTube channel, if you're viewing it there, you should be able to link to the PDFs of some discussion guides, and I pray that you take those, chew on those. I pray that you take this as an opportunity to really minister to one another, to lead your family well. And so I pray that you are taking this for what it can be for you, and know that we're praying for you, that we love you. But this morning, I wanted us to focus on a question that I think is really relevant, especially during this past week. This past week, the reasonable request that our government had given to us to suspend our large group meetings, our large group gatherings for the sake of slowing down the spread of the coronavirus, took a step up as our governor just this past Monday issued his executive order, if you will, that mandates that no groups larger than 10 get together. And so one of the questions that's been rattling around in my mind since the very beginning of this is we started asking the questions, what is the responsibility of Christians when there is a reasonable request from our governors, from our president, from our governing authorities? What is the relationship between the church and the state? And where is that separation? Does that separation lie? We're not going to get into all of those questions this morning, but we are going to look into God's Word and see what God's Word has to say to us. I think a lot of what we're experiencing as Christians comes from this independent, defiant spirit that has been a part of our society and is inherent in some ways to who we are from the very beginning. From that moment in the Garden of Eden, when we determined that we would define good and evil, we would define right and wrong, we would define justice and injustice for ourselves. And Adam and Eve reached out and they took that fruit from the tree, defying the command of the Lord, of essentially declaring before God in the universe, no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what is right in my own eyes. And that has plagued humanity since the beginning of time. And so there are churches now that are rebelling, if you will, or standing in defiance against the decrees, against the requests, against the orders of the government. I read an article just this week about one church in Louisiana that has refused to stop their services and instead has seen thousands come to their churches. And so the question becomes, you know, what is the church's responsibility in this time? Should we be defiant against a request to close our doors and shrink our gatherings and move to a digital platform? What is the responsibility that Christians have to those who are in authority? And so the place to jump to, I think most clearly, is Paul's words in the book of Romans. In the 13th chapter, Paul gives some clear instructions to Christians. There, Paul writes these words. He says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Paul's command from these verses is really pretty clear. It's our rejection, our uncomfortableness that is evidence, in my opinion, of that sinful defiance that is inside of many of us. Paul's command is very clear from the very beginning. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. The fact is there are governing authorities. The fact is, since the beginning of time when humans started assembling themselves into community, it was clear and evident and part of God's plan that there would be those who were raised to positions of authority for a very specific purpose. And that very specific purpose was to ensure order, to ensure the common good, to be the bearers, as Paul says here, of the sword. Those who had the authority to compel behavior for the overall good of the entire community. And so that looks in our world like kings, that looks like presidents, that looks like senators and legislators, that looks like police officers, and that looks like our governors and our city officials and many others who bear the responsibility of ensuring order in our society. And so those governing authorities exist, and Paul says that we are to be subject to them. That's a word that falls into the word family that talks about the collection of words that implies obedience. But it's not the same word that we would use of children obey your parents. But instead, it is one that implies that there is a hierarchy. There is a system to the authority that is there. And it talks about a willingness to submit ourselves to that. It doesn't talk about or imply any type of personal inferiority. Instead, it is the responsibility of independent, autonomous individuals to respect, to honor the system that is in place, and to respect those who are in authority. Paul's not naive here. Paul is not writing with some pie-in-the-sky idea of what government is. In reality, we are experiencing a world that Paul might not have even been able to dream of, where religious freedom is possible. And we have a much better relationship with the governing authorities in our day, in our country, than most Christians around the world have, and most Christians throughout history have. Paul was one who had personally experienced both the benefits of a just society as well as the ramifications, the consequences, the evils of an unjust society. When he appealed to Roman law because he was a Roman citizen, he benefited from that, and he benefited from the Roman system of justice by being protected from the unjust Jewish rulers who wanted to punish him, who wanted to kill him. And he was repeatedly incarcerated because he refused to obey the commands of the unjust authorities, the Jewish religious leaders and others who forbid him from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul was somebody who understood what it was to walk a thin line between being a good citizen, if you will, an obedient citizen, and also being an obedient Christian. And so Paul commands Christians across time, throughout time, to subject ourselves to the governing authorities. And in the rest of these verses, I think that he really gives us two reasons for that. And those reasons flow throughout all of the rest of Scripture that are really kind of rooted in those two great commandments that Jesus iterated and that the Old Testament exemplified, is that one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And second, love your neighbors yourself. Paul gives us a vertical reason for subjecting ourselves to authorities, but he also, I believe, gives us a horizontal reason to subject ourselves to the governing authorities. First, he tells us that we are to subject ourselves to governing authority because this honors God. Paul grounds his command for us to subject ourselves to governing authorities with the reason that there is no authority, or we can put that positively, all authority comes from God. God is ultimately the sovereign God of the universe. God is the ruler of the universe. There is no one who is more powerful. There is no authority higher than God. And all authority flows from the top. All authority flows from God down. So every ounce of authority that someone has is derived from God. And when we choose to subject ourselves to those that are in authority, that obedience always flows upstream. So when we submit ourselves and when we honor and respect those who are placed in authority in our lives, that authority doesn't just go to that individual. It goes through that individual to the person that is behind them. So if an ambassador walks through the door of a king's court, and the king shows that ambassador honor, that king is not just showing honor and respect to that ambassador, but through that ambassador to the king or to the president, and ultimately to the nation that that ambassador represents. And so as Christians, when we subject ourselves to authority, we're honoring the highest authority, which is God, by honoring the authorities that he has ordained in the world. You know, there are some that ask the question, because we live in a democratic society, well, then whoever's in authority in America is not there by the will of God, but he's there by the will of the people. But the truth of the matter is, there is nothing that happens in this world that happens apart from God's plan, apart from God's will. There's not even Satan has the ability to work outside of God's will or outside of God's plan. God is ultimately over the entire universe. Everything is happening under God's eye, under God's care, within God's plan. And so as we acknowledge the fact that even the governmental system that we have in place today is a good gift given to us by God, happens under the authority of God, and those positions of authority are there because it's God's will and God's plan, we also can honor the position and honor the person. And so we subject ourselves to the governing authorities because it honors God who has put that person in authority. But because that authority has the higher authority of God behind it, we understand that every authority is a derived authority. It's authority that's under a higher authority, except from God's. And so as we come to this passage of Scripture, Paul clearly can't be saying that we have to obey absolutely every command of every authority, no matter what it is, period. Because this verse has been used and abused by wicked leaders, by church, by even wicked religious leaders and church leaders, as well as wicked societal leaders and government authorities, as they claimed an authority from God, and you had to do exactly what they said all of the time without any question, because their authority, their position is ordained by God. But we see from Paul's own life that there were times that Paul chose to disobey those that had authority in his life. And so what we understand here is because every person in authority, their authority is derived from God, they can never issue any type of command or directive that breaks God's commands, that is contradictory to God's nature, to God's laws. And so, just like when we go back to the Garden of Eden, when the serpent weaved his way into the hearts and the minds and the lives of Adam and Eve, his first line of attack was to attack the Word of God, to attack the commands of God, to manipulate the commands of God, and manipulate Eve's understanding of God's commands. And so if we are going to properly subject ourselves to those that are in authority in our lives, we must first and foremost be subjected to God's authority. We have to know God's commands. And that's why the best way to be a good citizen, if you will, to be someone who works for God's glory and for the good of other humans, is to prioritize our relationship with God first and foremost. If we are going to walk this world with wisdom, we have to know the source of wisdom. We have to be tapped into God's commands. We have to make sure that we understand and know what has God commanded, and how, then that becomes the line of our obedience versus our civil disobedience. When someone is telling us to disobey the commands of God, that's the point where we cannot obey that person. And they have stepped beyond their bounds of authority to command something that God has, to command something against what God has commanded, or to command us to do what God has called us not to do. No authority that attempts to contradict the commands and the word and the nature and the heart of God is an authority that we are expected or compelled or called or commanded to obey. And so this is not a blanket command to just obey anything and everything. We're to obey with wisdom. But nevertheless, we understand that all of that comes from God and it flows back to God. And so when we are serving those that are in authority, as though we're serving the Lord above them, we're able to subject ourselves to honor them and to live lives that bring God glory. So we need to prioritize our Christianity. We need to understand that subjecting ourselves to the authorities is honoring to God. But we also need to know that when we subject ourselves to those that are in authority, we promote the good. God has placed governing authorities in a position to serve a purpose. And that purpose is to, as Paul puts it here, to wield the sword. The goal of the governing authorities in this world is to be a terror, he says, to use the language of verse 3, to be a terror to bad conduct, but to promote good conduct. And he says there's no reason for someone who is doing what is good to be fearful of the governing authorities. A governing authorities that are walking as God has commanded them to walk, as God has placed them in position to walk, are ones that are ensuring justice in the world. And so there's a positive side and there's a negative side. The state, the government, is given the authority to compel behavior. Pastors aren't given the authority to compel behavior. The church is given the authority to compel behavior. The parents are given the authority to compel the behavior of their children, as parents are given the rod of discipline to ensure that their children understand what it is to be obedient, to understand what it is to walk in good behavior, and to walk in ways that bring the Lord honor. The church is given the rod of discipline when it comes to church discipline in Matthew chapter 18 and excommunication. Pastors aren't given the authority to compel behavior. We work in the authority to counsel behavior, to be voices of counsel, to call, as shepherds call their sheep, and pull them forward. It's the church that's given the authority to step in and to speak into people's lives and to bring any discipline. But the government is given the authority of the sword. They are given the authority of what we would understand as the justice system, where they are given the authority to reward good behavior and also to punish bad behavior. And so when we are walking in a pattern of subjecting ourselves to authority with humility, with respect, with honor, with fear, with all of these things, we are setting an example and we are promoting a social good that creates an environment where we then present with freedom, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we are in a safe environment and a safe society, then we are free, like in our society, to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ without restriction, without fear. As we promote that social good, as we live for the good of those that are around us and for the glory of the Lord, then we are creating an environment that establishes this place where the church can be the church, where the church can exist with some measure of freedom. And so we bear a responsibility as we are subjecting ourselves to the authorities that are in this world to love others well, to love those that are in authority, to love our neighbors well, to utilize the systems of justice, to advocate for and to call forth the sword of society, the sword of the government, where it is necessary. So when we see injustice, we are to call upon the government to bring justice where justice is necessary. We are to speak, and in what capacities and freedoms we have, to ensure that justice is reigns in our world and in our society and in our homes. And so we need to prioritize the safety and the well-being of others. When we submit ourselves to governing authorities, especially and even when that is difficult for us, when that is against our own nature and against our own desires, what we're actually doing in that moment is we are actually showing the world the very heart and the very nature of Jesus Christ himself. Because when we submit to the proper authorities in the proper ways, especially when that means some sacrifice of our self-interest, we are just displaying the very heart of Christ. He's the one who didn't refuse to follow the will of the Father, to obey the authority of God, even when God's authority, God's will, God's command led to his death on the cross. Jesus Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father for the sake of you and me. He honored God. He promoted the good of humanity when he gave his life on the cross. And in doing so, he was able to accomplish all that God intended for the world, which was more than just the forgiveness of our sins, but the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ because of his resurrection that we're celebrating at this season and prayerfully in just a couple of weeks together on Easter. He accomplished eternal life in his resurrected life for you and for me. We see him submitting himself to those that were in authority. We see him speaking out against injustice. We see him speaking out against injustice in the religious world, but also in the political world. Jesus came and he spoke and he lived a life that exemplifies this respect and this honor of those who are in authority. And so you and I are called to be in submission to Christ by being in submission to those that are around us. Brothers and sisters, I don't think that our government at this point is stepping over any bounds. We've got to ask ourselves the question in these difficult times, what's the real fight? What's the real crisis? Our religious liberties, our religious freedoms are not being stepped upon. They're not being crushed. They're not being silenced. We're not being asked to stop proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not being shut down. If our Sunday morning gatherings, if the disappearing of our Sunday morning gatherings stops the church, then we've got a really bad understanding of what is the church. This is not, this question of whether or not we should submit or surrender or yield ourselves to the reasonable requests of our governing authorities is really not the right question. This is a momentary inconvenience for the church. And it has caused us to panic. And it's time that we shift, I believe, our conversations about this, about digital gatherings, digital meetings, this and that and the other, about church on Sunday mornings and anything else. Losing church on Sunday morning is not the crisis that we're facing, brothers and sisters. The crisis is yet to come. What is the loss of our being together in a building at a specific time on a specific day of the week compared to the loss of a loved one, compared to the loss of a job, compared to the loss of a home? We are not at the worst of this yet. There's still a greater crisis to come. There's going to be days in the future when people in your neighborhood, people with your last name, are sick and they're dying. When people in this community are suffering because they've lost their income, they've lost their home, they've lost their livelihood, they've lost so much. Are we really going to still be grumbling and griping and complaining because we can't get together on Sunday mornings? Are we still going to be having conversations about live stream services and live stream Bible studies and Sunday school classes and all this other stuff? Are we positioning ourselves to inconvenience ourselves as little as possible, or are we positioning ourselves to have our eyes on our society, to work with those who are in authority, to honor them, to honor God, and promote the good of our neighbors? What about those who are suffering right now because mom has lost a job, dad has lost a job, because all of their work whatsoever has dried up? Where are we as a church for them? What about the boys and the girls at school who are struggling? The fuel program right now is struggling because kids are not in school on a regular basis, and now we're even having problems just as groups, as a community, getting what we need to be able to distribute to these kids to make sure that they have food. And as one sister reminded me just recently, what about the children who, being at home and in quarantine right now, isn't summer vacation, but is a place of fear, because their home is not a safe space? What about those who are struggling to find food? What about those who are afraid of what's going to happen on the backside of this? Are we positioning ourselves for the real fight? Or are we positioning ourselves just to be what we've always been? I pray that we are positioning ourselves to be ready, to take our Christianity seriously, to know the Word of God, to prioritize our relationship with God, so that we can not just be good citizens in our world, but so that we can exemplify Christ and His heart for the world in this time of crisis. I pray that we will not waste this time. I pray that we will be ready. I pray that you are preparing your heart. Because Pastor Mike and I and other pastors and I are having the conversation, you know what? I hope that you're not just waiting for the day that the parentheses is going to close and you're just going to walk back into church on Sunday morning and it's going to be like nothing ever happened. That ain't happening. This is going to forever change the church. This is going to change our church. The question is it going to change us for the better, or is it going to change us for the worse? My prayer is that it changes us for the better. I love you. I pray that you take the discussion guide that we're providing for you. You can find it on the website. You can find it on the show notes in YouTube. You can find it on the notes section on the side of our online streaming. It's all over the place. I pray that you take that. You chew through it. You look up the scriptures. You talk with one another. You find ways that you can be the hands and feet of Jesus this week to one another, to your neighbors, to the world. I pray that you move to the next stage of prepping yourself to be the church in the time of crisis that's on its way. I love you. God bless you, Spring Creek.